This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Bye.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Make it a little warmer, and you just may want to sit out on the deck or patio and have yourself a beverage. Maybe go over to somebody's place. We're going to have a picnic, whatever. Enjoy a beverage. Yeah. And not only that, but they have wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, lay by the barrels, and the dills. My two favorites, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. Great Friday to you. Where he had a couple of minor deals in baseball. One that I think helps out Seattle, Randy Arozarena going from Tampa Bay to Seattle. Seattle's pitching is outstanding. Their defense is really good, but they needed another bat. Arozarena gives them that. Not only a bat that is produced in the postseason, which is terrific. And the Red Sox reacquired James Paxton. He was just DFA'd by the Dodgers. They gave up a minor leaguer to get him. The Red Sox felt they needed another starting pitcher because they've been using the bullpen day with Josh Winkowski and guys like that. So they get Paxton, and Paxton, a couple of numbers aren't great for Paxton, but overall, if you've watched him pitch, he's actually pitched very well. So, you know, they picked him up in the deal. And with Clayton Kershaw probably coming back and so forth, the Dodgers felt they could do that. So
I was going to say, yeah. Kershaw pitched last night.
Yeah. I mean, with him coming back, that's why they DFA'd him.
Yeah. Well, it was weird. Who did the Dodgers just play this weekend that would have been on TV? The Phillies? No, the Pirates? Somebody like that. Anyway, I was watching the game, and he didn't throw – every fastball he threw was – high, and they spent a lot of time talking about that's the only place the Dodgers wanted him to throw the fastball. So I wonder if he'll change the way he attacks people when he goes to Boston.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But again, you are talking about an organization that already knows the guy.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not as if there's a learning curve based on scouting reports. They know him. And the Red Sox, by the way, did sign manager Alex Cora through the 2027 season. I will give Cora credit for this. Now, okay, let's take the Houston scandal aside. Let's get that out of the way for the moment, because that's always going to sit there. We know that. But think about this as a manager. He has taken an ultra-talented team and managed them to a world championship. One. He took a decently talented team in 2021 and got them to the American League Championship Series. And now he's got a young, we have no idea how talented they are. It's not a traditional Red Sox team, and he's at least got them playing well. The guy is a good manager. I mean, he's taken three different types of teams and has had success with three different types of teams, and I have to give him credit for that. So, and then there's Aaron Boone.
I was going to say, if the Red Sox don't make the playoffs or don't make much noise, I don't think it's on Cora. I think it's kind of, well, as you well know, on the front office on that team. They didn't spend much money on this winter.
That's exactly right. But they realized that. That's why they signed him. Right? I mean, they know what they have. That's fine. That's good. I mean, that's you know what you know. If you're good management, that's what you do. If you figure out, okay, here's the guy, and you go from there. So they've done that. The Phillies are in an interesting spot. Probably could use maybe, what, one more pitcher?
I really seen that. I think they'd really want to get a right-handed bat in that outfield might be even more important.
Right,
than,
yes. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think you're right. I'm with you on that. You're right.
I think I can never say his name, but the Tampa Bay guy that Seattle got probably would have been a pretty good fit for them.
Randy Arozarena?
Yeah.
Here's the part with the Pirates. All right. When they've made deals when they've been in contention, it's always been for guys they never kept. Marlon Byrd, for example. Marlon Byrd was not a big acquisition, but he was a good, solid acquisition who ended up paying dividends for them over the final 2 months of the season, even hit a postseason home run for them. And that is the kind of guy that they look forward to having, is a guy like that that they're not going to keep long-term. And that's who they try to acquire. So let's see what they do, because they're two games over 500. They're in the thick of it. But let's go back to... Bob Nightingale. And as he said, hey, look, no offense, he said, but there's not a lot out there. There's not a lot out there.
You know, it's such a crapshoot, you know, but if you get, like, you know, make that Steven Pierce acquisition like the Red Sox did a couple years ago, if they can find the guy that that's inexpensive but actually gets hot, you know, from August to October, that would obviously be great for them. Because, you know, I've said this before, you know, those three starters give you seven innings, Chapman and Bednar in the eighth and ninth, and right. I don't think anybody wants the Pirates to make the playoffs if you're in the National League.
Well, they know they have a one, right, in Skeens. Jones is really good as a three because Mitch Keller's got to be the two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Pirates are a tough out for somebody if they get in, only because they've got the pitchers that can do it. And that makes them a very tough out. Just like the Phillies are going to be, they have such, their starting pitching is just so good, so dynamic, that, and just flat out tough.
It will be interesting to see if Sanchez or maybe Suarez, I don't think it will be Suarez, end up in the bullpen in the postseason as another arm, just because you don't need that fourth or fifth starter usually.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's going to have to. And you know what? You know who I probably would pick? Would be Suarez. Why? Because Suarez in his career has bounced around in terms of roles. So because of that, you then look at a guy like that and saying, hey, look, in a role, we know he can handle it, as opposed to, I'm not sure if he can handle it. You'd be a guessing game with somebody else. And that's the issue.
We talk pitchers, you know, that could be going somewhere with Bob, and he mentioned Garrett Crochet of the White Sox. Did you see what he said yesterday?
I think he wants more money, right?
Well, I think they basically said that he wasn't going to pitch in October if he didn't get an extension if he was traded.
You know what? I'm sorry. I can't abide by stuff like that. I just can't. And the reason I can't is that I look at stuff like that and I say, that's not what this is about. You're going to get your money. Okay? You have to go out and, okay? It's all about winning championships. It's all about winning championships. And if you don't, if that's not, I've got a real issue with that.
Well, I'm guessing the reasoning is, well, when we talked about it, he's pitched more innings this year than he ever has in any year in his career. And I think he wants the security in case, you know, pushing himself so hard, if he does break, that he has the security to know, you know, because, you know, if he doesn't get that extension and he blows his arm out in October pitching for somebody, you know, and his contract ends, nobody necessarily has to sign him while he rehabilitates. So I get it from that end.
Yeah, I get certain things from certain ends of this thing, but, you know, after a while, does anybody out there want to win? We put so much emphasis on the individual. Right? Oh, you know. Like, the Yankees are a perfect example of individuals. Oh, you know, Juan Soto, bat flip, what an individual. The whole thing, guess what? You're bat flipping down 6-1. Okay, what the heck are you doing? I mean, seriously, it's about the individual. No, it's about the team. They lost. I mean, there's so many times, how many times have you heard me mention headlines? And I'll mention a headline, and I'll say, X hits 2 home runs, da-da-da. And then you look at it, they lost the game 5-2. Well, that's nice that you hit 2 home runs, but it didn't win you the game. Now, you're not the one responsible for losing the game. Absolutely not. Of course not. You played well. But that's the headline? The headline is you lost. To me, it's about the winning and losing. And that, to me, is what it's all about. You know, individual performances are great. You then highlight the great individual performances that led to winning. Okay, when we talk about Saquon Barkley's night at Iowa, okay, when we talk about Saquon Barkley's, okay, night at Iowa, which was unbelievable, it didn't go to waste. They won. That's, to me, what it's about. It's about the winning and the losing part of it as a team, as a collective. Now, if you're an individual sport such as Simone Biles, Steven Nedorosic, something like that, Katie Ledecky, okay, you're talking about an individual accomplishment. Absolutely. Okay? But when it comes to team sports, I want to celebrate individual accomplishments that lead to wins. Now, there can be something that's remarkable. Somebody hits 3 home runs in a game, and the team loses 7-3. Okay, you know what? 3 home runs in a game does not happen very often. That part I've got. I got that. X hits 4 cycle, but they lose. That doesn't happen very often. So I understand that. But we're doing so much about what the individual does. I think in part, with all due respect, because of fantasy sports, which I understand. Fantasy sports have been an important part of the popularity of sports, right? Individually. But we've done so much with that that it's taking away from, in my opinion, the aspect of winning and losing. It's all about winning and losing. And that still is paramount. Now, when there are individual performances that lead to winning and are a big reason why a team wins, okay. To me, it's about the team celebrating winning and losing. And then you then, in turn, in dissecting the win, celebrate the individual accomplishment. But it was maybe about, I don't know, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, Juan Soto, I think, hit a 9th-inning home run. And he flips the bat, he's going around the bases, celebrating, you know, in his own way. and made it 6-1. They're losing. What are we celebrating here? What's the celebration about? But that you close the gap to 5 in the ninth inning?
They were inching closer.
Yeah. I mean, pitcher, what if Juan Soto strikes out? Should the pitcher go out and gyrate and go, hey, you know, and then flip his glove in the air?
I honestly would have no problem with that.
No. I have no problem with people having fun, right? But have fun when it's contributing to winning. Okay? It's like, to me, it's the equivalent of being down in a football game 30-3, and then you score a touchdown with 4 minutes to go in the game, and you go wild to make it 30-10. I'm like going, I'm sorry, but that's, like, what are you going wild about? Right? I'm glad you scored. That's nice. But it's, in terms of the overall scheme of the game, it's meaningless.
I like the first down signal in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Hopping up and singling first down, yeah. Down by three touchdowns.
Yeah. 2 minutes left. Yeah. All right, really? Way to go. That's great. So... Yeah. I don't know. Again, I want people to have fun. Like, remember when Jose Bautista flipped the bat, right? That was a playoff home run. I think that won the game or put them in front, right?
Yeah, I think it put him in front.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm there. I got it. I mean, that's an exciting moment. He's juiced. I got it. Right? I got that. But down 6-0 and hitting a solo homer and going nuts? What are you doing? Run the bases. Circle, get home, and hope the next guy keeps the line moving. Am I wrong here?
Nope.
You know, again, Bautista flips the bat. I got it. It's an incredible, juiced up, exciting, meaningful moment. So that I got. Okay? So I'm okay with stuff like that. You know, big touchdown. You know, remember that? Let's go back to the Iowa game again. The big touchdown catch that Juwan Johnson makes. Last play of the game. Big moment. Celebrate. Celebrate as a team. Celebrate it. That's great. Right? Or the guy that, like, you know, puts up the 3 signal to make it 87-62 with a minute to go. Like, really? Okay, just run down the court the other end. You're losing by 25. Okay, let's, you know, it's like, it's not your day. It's nothing, there's nothing to signal. Like, come on. Now this guy, I'm not gonna pitch in October if I don't have a contract. You're pitching for the White Sox right now, buddy boy. Okay? October is a rumor to you. Okay. Appreciate that you actually may pitch in October, which, by the way, could then, with good October appearances, really increase the possibility of getting more money.
I was not sure. I did not realize that they were on a 1962 Mets place.
They're terrible.
Oh, my God.
He's really good. He's really good. He's a really good pitcher. Okay? So there's no getting around it. He's a really good pitcher. I give him a lot of credit for that and so forth. But okay, you're going to tell me, unless I get a deal, I'm not pitching in October. Are you kidding me? You have to be kidding me. Okay? I don't want that person. And he's very good. But his value goes up exponentially if people see in October. Okay, what other than individual pressure? And there's individual pressure every time you go out there. So there's always that. But what team pressure is he under right now? How about none? Crochet is also making it known that he has no desire to pitch out of the bullpen. Really?
It kind of sounds like he doesn't want to be traded, to be honest.
Exactly. I mean, Crochet, by the way, was a reliable reliever when he came in. But then he had, and I understand the injury concerns because he's already had Tommy John once. That part I got. But, so I got all that part. I got it. But geez, isn't there a part of you that wants to win? Phillies, by the way, got Austin Hayes from the Orioles today.
Oh.
And they got him for Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache. And Hayes was the starting outfielder in the All-Star game that nobody watched in 2023. Bad start this year. And so they think Hayes could platoon with Brandon Marsh. Now, Sir Anthony Dominguez been decent for the Phillies. He's been good. Pache is not. He's hit 202 in 50 games this year.
They must assume they can teach Rojas to hit and not him.
That's a big assumption.
It is.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, super cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Whether you're a business or an athlete, find out what your possibilities are. Go to NILGameChangers.org. So today is the day that Judge Claudia Wilkin has been presented with the settlement agreement between the NCAA and House. And and it is expected, and she'll do her due diligence. She has a very good reputation as a judge, just to make sure T's and I's are all taken care of. But in the end, we all know that, you know, with everything that's been put into this, it'll be approved. So today's the day she has it in her hands. And that leads to what is going to happen next year. So let's get to one of the important stories out there. I know that the suit, people marching in with flags and going around in a circle, is big, but that's like not a lot of action to that. It's a nice look. Looks great. I know he loves the opening ceremonies. Are you going to watch that tonight? I know it's going on live right now on Peacock, but are you going to watch that tonight?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm at Williamsport. See, that people ask me about this. I'm not trying to be cynical about anything. But between, like, when I'm done here, I'm going to go to basketball practice. Then I'm going to go to Williamsport and do a game tonight. Well, I got to watch the opening ceremonies. I'm working. You know, next week during the Olympics, football practice starts. Plus, they have Spikes games. You know, and there's a lot going on. And that's why, you know, I can't invest the time in the Olympics because I'm investing the time in my job, which just, it just turns out this time of the year. But the big story for what we follow around here is in conjunction with what Claudia Wilkin is going to eventually say yes to on the settlement, which will then lead to an increase in scholarships. But at the same time, it's not really an increase in scholarships, it's roster limits. So this is what is being reported about five sports on roster limits. Football, 105. So that's 20 more than they used to have. Now, that doesn't mean, and also in football where you give full scholarships, okay, you are now going to be allowed to do partials. So if you can fund 85 and then you can do partials on the other 20, whatever. You know, how you want to do it, it's up to you. It's up to you as to how you want to dole out your scholarships. You can do partials. But 105 would be the limit. Now, right now, most schools have a little bit more than 120. And as somebody, and this is not one of those, quote, stupid, dumb bragging points. It's just a fact of, just a fact. I probably have been to more college football practices than the entire audience combined. I mean, I'm talking about Penn State football practices. For obvious reasons. Joe, Tom, Bill, James have been awesome about letting me go in to watch all the time. So I know what it takes numbers-wise to run a really good practice. This will be interesting to see what they do with it. And what does this do to walk-ons? And walk-ons that would have made up roster spots 106 to 120.
Do they get the partial partial scholarships now that there's probably is no more walk-ons?
I think there's a limit. The limit's going to be 105, and then how you want to do it is up to you.
Because, I mean, if you have, you could probably, with partial scholarships, you could probably keep yourself at 120 if you wanted to.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to let you go past 105.
Oh, I see.
See, I think 105 is going to be the limit. Okay. So, now basketball. You and I talked about basketball the other day. I said there was a likelihood they could go to 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They're going to add two and go to 15. Now, women's basketball, they don't have to make the move. They're already at 15. So, men's basketball will add two to 15. Here's where the big one comes in. Baseball. Baseball, which has currently 11.7, is going to be allowed to go to 34. an increase of 22.3 scholarships. Softball is going, which is currently at 12, will be allowed to essentially slightly more than double. They're going to be allowed to have 13 to 25. And volleyball, women's volleyball, will be allowed to go with an additional 6 up to 18. Now, does that suddenly mean that baseball and softball are going to have 34 and 25 respectively? No. You're going to have some schools that are going to look at their coach and say, look, we can afford 18. Right? That's going to happen some places.
You talk about unintended consequences a lot. And when I saw that baseball one, I wonder if my first thought was, does that allow Major League Baseball to cut out another level of the minors and push more of the development onto the college programs now?
No, I don't think so, Todd. And here's the reason why. I think college baseball has been useful in the draft by there have been more college players taken already. But whenever they are drafted out of college, every one of them, even Paul Skenes, had to spend some time in the minor leagues. Skenes is the only player from last year's draft that's in the majors right now, I believe. Somebody could call and correct me about that. I'm not going to sit and pretend I know every roster. But I think he's the only player from last year's draft that's in the minors right now. That is in the majors right now. All the rest of them are in the minors. So there's always been that thought that yes, they are. But I don't think that's a good question to ask. But I don't think just based on recent history that the answer is yes to that. They still want to get them bring them in, because you're not getting guys. There aren't many Al Kalines that jump from whatever to the majors and never play a game in the minors. Al Kaline was a Hall of Fame outfielder with the Detroit Tigers, 1968 world champion. So 3,000 hits in his career. Great fielder. For younger people in the audience that may not know who he is. But that's a good question, but I don't think that part's changing, especially in the 20-round draft. Softball's become incredibly popular. Now let's get to the question, what will our audience ask about? What question would our audience have about scholarship limits?
Wrestling.
Yep, and it's not on the list. You asking why? Okay, they'll eventually get to it, right? But at least initially, what do these five have in common? Football's played across the board by 133 schools, so everybody that's declared for FBS, okay, would be under this. Basketball's played by 363. Women's volleyball is played by 363. Women's basketball is played by 363. Baseball has, I believe, over 300. And softball, I think, is played by all 363. There's only 74 wrestling programs. So 80% of the schools that fall under these sports, 80% don't have the sport. So since they don't have the sport, we're not going to address it in the first wave. We want to do the ones where everybody is participants. That's why I'm a little surprised men's and women's soccer is not on here. For example, men's ice hockey isn't there. Well, men's ice hockey has ice hockey have? Like 60 participants. Men's gymnastics has 20. Men's volleyball has 24. Now, they're going to propose, I would guess, when wrestling comes up. I would guess somewhere between 25 and 35 when it's all said and done. Right now, they're 9.9. Right? And they don't have to have the number right away. I mean, in other words, all these sports don't have to have the number yet, especially, for example, you don't need the number at this hour for wrestling. But if, in a couple of weeks, it wouldn't hurt because they have to start thinking about how they want to do it. But these are the sports that are immediately en masse, that every school has. That's why I'm surprised men's and women's soccer is not on there, especially women's soccer, because everybody has that. But these are the en masse sports as opposed to sailing, men's gymnastics, men's ice hockey, women's ice hockey, wrestling, that all have fewer than 100 schools participating.
Hey, Steve, I have Dick from Milton.
Hey, Dick, how are you today?
Well, guess what? I got off my mower to come and ask you a question.
Okay. First of all, how deep into the mowing are you?
I'm just mowing. Here's my question. If the football cuts your scholarships back to, what'd you say, 110?
It would increase to 105 from 85.
Oh, but football went up.
Right.
But their maximum number is 105.
Right, as opposed to being allowed to have between 120 and 125.
Okay, so football on Division I scholarships only had, like at Penn State, only had 85 scholarships.
Right.
Okay, well, then I guess you answered my question. Because my question was, if they went from 120 to 105 players, okay, right, and baseball increased their scholarship numbers in some of their sports, the mid-majors would be hurt by mid-majors like the Bucknells and the Lafayettes, they would be hurt by baseball and then increasing the number of scholarships at that level. But football might help a little bit if they have less players.
Well, football is not going to be helped by having fewer players from a strategic point of view, because you do need the extra players to really run a practice properly.
Some of those kids might go to mid-majors now. That was my question. That was my only thought.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, because you know how many times I look at a player out there in a practice field, and I'll say to somebody like Wayne Sebastianelli or whatever, I said, I'll tell you right now, that kid would be great at Bucknell. But he wants to be here. I'll give you a good example. Tyler Holsworth, number 34. He's been able to get in a couple of times in games. Bust his backside, and he's paying out-of-state tuition. He's from Milford, New Jersey. Okay, that kid is a hard-working, good football player. But he's on a team that has Quentin Martin, on a team that has Cam Wallace, on a team that has Catron Allen, on a team that has Nicholas Singleton, right? But he wants to be here. But if he played someplace else, for example, and like Bucknell, and Tyler could get into Bucknell, he's smart, right? He'd be outstanding. So, I mean, there is a domino effect that you're talking about that would be a possibility for some players.
Now, this is all Division I schools or just certain tier?
It says NCAA expected to approve increased scholarships across multiple sports, but that's all it mentioned was, and I'm going to assume that these are all Division I.
Let's Penn State baseball from a relatively low number to a relatively high number on scholarships.
Right.
So there's a lot more opportunities for those kids to play at bigger schools then, and less opportunities that the mid-majors will get those kids.
I agree with that, because right now you're allowed to have 11.7, which means you're dividing up a lot of scholarships into partials. You get a third, Todd gets a half, the suit gets 5%.
And I understand it's not like in football where there's a two-tier NCAA Division One, Division Two,
right,
where everybody plays at the same level in baseball and all these other sports. But if they give all these bigger schools more scholarships, I mean, who would want to sit on the bench at Penn State rather than maybe go somewhere else and play a little? I guess that's my point for baseball and some of these other sports that are getting more scholarships.
Dick,
that's,
your point.
That's my thought to that.
Well, your point is excellent. I will also point out to you that even though it may say the maximum for baseball at 34,
right?
Let's take Temple, I cannot picture giving out 34 scholarships, just financially. You can't do it. So I think there's still going to be some room for some people out there to move around a little bit. and play other places because not everybody is going to offer the max because financially they just can't afford to do it.
Well, that was my other point. I'll make this really quickly, but because I use Penn State, for example, who has cut back in a lot in schools in the Penn State system, in the state system. They've cut the number of schools back. They're closing some schools. I guess my point is, if Penn State starts getting more scholarships for athletics and starts cutting programs and teachers and whatever, don't you think that might cause some consternation on the part of some people?
Well, it can't because Penn State's athletic department is autonomous and they pay for their scholarships to the university.
All right.
Because Penn State has to. I mean, people don't think that money moves. It's a scholarship. Money, you know, so it's free. That's not true. What happens is that there's an electronic transmission from the athletic department to the university to pay for the scholarship, the room and board and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're going through a lot of issues with cutting back staff and cutting back this and cutting back that. And people people see the cutbacks, and I guess if they throw lots of more money into athletics, I think, what the heck's going on here?
My
point.
Right,
because
they're not.
As much as I like athletics, the bottom line of any school is to educate the student.
Sure, it is.
And put out a student to qualify. Because very few students are going to leave Penn State or anywhere and play big time athletics.
Right, and so in this case, when it comes to scholarships, every athletic director I've ever talked to here says that the July meeting, where they discuss what they want to do with tuition, room, and board prices, is one that they go into apprehensively because they're trying to figure out how much more they're going to need to pay for their scholarships. That's always a wild card for them. See, that's why that it's still there's still money that exchanges from athletics to the university because of the scholarship part, and they'd have to do it here.
Okay. Does any of it come out of the football fund, or the money that is raised by the football selling tickets and stuff? Or does a lot of it come out of that?
Well, it's just part of the...
Like football, I mean, football actually generates a lot of revenue, obviously.
Sure.
But they spend a lot of revenue. I mean, obviously, they even rebuild whatever. Mm-hmm. But does any of that money go towards the scholarship programs?
This
is a stupid question.
Every dollar that's brought in is put into a pool, and money for the scholarships comes out of that pool. I mean, so in other words, it's part of the budget as to what you are spending. So when you see expenses for everybody, you know, each grouping, whether it's wrestling, football, basketball, under expenses, that's part of the expenses, how much is paid for room, board, scholarships, things like that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, Steve. I'm going to go back to mowing grass. You have to understand that 80 years old, I don't think like I did 30 years ago.
No, I just want to make sure you get the lawn done, okay? It's a beautiful day to cut.
It's actually not that bad out. It's a little warm, but it's also not humid, so it's not bad out.
That's not bad. I like
play
that.
Golf. For you, not for me, but to go.
I got baseball tonight. I played golf yesterday, though. I did.
I got you. Nice talking to you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too. What a pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, I got after the baseball game yesterday, I got out and played golf. Yeah. Had a lot of fun.
That's like the perfect afternoon. Go call a game and go get some holes in.
I thought so. Oh, goodness gracious. I better hit it well next Wednesday. That's all I'll say. Mr. Ham and I are teaming up. I need to carry my weight. Last time we played, I didn't.
Fear is a great motivating factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.